Can I respond, or does anybody else
want to
weigh
in? And I should let me finish. We have a motion that we're now acting upon that we passed immediately within the first month. It was passed by the board, and it says that the general managers now have to give us the information about the financials and the audience data. And I guess they're not used to reporting this data. So anyway, I'm just wondering if you could answer or share with us some of the what your feelings are about this or thoughts. Thank you.
Well, of your several questions, I can address some of them. In terms of being able to pay for the audits going forward, I am not the person who can answer that question. That's probably either the PNB or the Finance Committee. And as it happens, we have people who represent both of those things here with us. We have Julie Hewitt, the chair of the PNB, is on the line, and Jim Sagerton, who is the chair of the Finance Committee, is also on the line. So perhaps one of them would like to address that question first.
Madam Chair, it is a point of information.
Go ahead, Adriana.
Please, I don't recognize the voices. It's very difficult to do meaning. People need to say, please tell your name before you start speaking. Thank you.
Okay. Everybody hear that? Yes, identify yourself. That was Jim Dingman, the most recent speaker. Well, I will address one of the other points, one of the other of Jim's points, which was, I understand, I listened to one of the PNB meetings when, oh gosh, did I hear the ED say it herself, but it's not just the question of the audits that is going to determine whether we can apply with any success to the CPB, but a number of other issues. You know, if we're complying with our noticing and with our CABs and, you know, any of the other requirements that the CPB has for us to apply for those, what are they called, the community grants. And the ED had said that there was pretty much no way we were going to be able to get all of those things together to apply. Well, it would have been this month, and that won't happen till next year. We're on the way to putting all the pieces together, but we're not there yet. I wonder if Julie or Jim Sagerton could say something about our ability to pay for the audits going forward. I mean, if you can't, that's, you know, you could tell us you can't.
This is James. I can not really specify. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. This is James Sagerton, Chair of the Finance Committee. There are any number of things that we need to do that we don't necessarily have the cash on hand to do. Of course, paying for the audits is one of them. We also are having to defend against a petition filed with the FCC where we need cash up front to pay for attorneys in that matter. We have continuing difficulties with payroll, which is just a fundamental requirement that we pay as a priority. So we know that the time has passed for an election supervisor to be hired. So we have, on multiple fronts, we have multiple things that need to be paid for, and it's not clear how that's all going to come along. However, obviously, again, payroll and, of course, audits would be a very high priority.
Thank you, Jim. All right.
Madam Chair?
Is that Jim Dingman?
Yes, it is.
Yes, Jim.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to make one more comment. My point was really from last year. I am well aware of all the problems that exist, but I'm just making a comment. You don't have to answer. I was just surprised that last year, when we finally got the AFRs on time, I would have felt that that was the time, that was the moment to start working on the issues that the ED just raised. And so that's my point. I mean, nothing was done. So that's all. That's the comment I want to make. And, you know, I'm just wanting to get that on the record. It seems that nothing was done for months, so that's all. Okay. I mean, I know how difficult it is. I know everybody's overwhelmed with things, but I just wanted to point that out for the record that it seemingly nothing was done until this new board convened, and then we had to sort of push it through and hear other people object to it. But anyway, I just want to make that clear. Thank you, though. I know it's hard.
Thank you, Jim. You had the other comment about information, I think. The motion that was passed where I think the Nielsen's and Arbitron ratings and such were supposed to be made available. Is that the issue you were referring to in your comment?
Well, I just wanted to make that clear that, you know, we're in the middle of requesting that from the general managers based on the motion that was passed. It includes financial information, and we're getting a big stone wall, which is going to be dealt with in the next few weeks, but only one station has responded positively. The rest of them are just blowing it off. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. But that will be... I'm just taking my notes. I'm sorry, Sarah, go ahead.
Elizabeth has a question to be on stack, please.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Elizabeth on stack, please.
Oh, okay. Sarah, then Elizabeth.
Sarah Brown for the secretary. There's two things that I think I heard, and I'm really, really interested in, and one of the reasons I joined this, is getting that free money that's just sitting out there. Well, we have these big debts. That government money. So pulling the stations together and organizing to the point where we can get that CPB, I guess it's CPB money.
CPB.
Yeah, CPB money is absolutely essential. You know, I mean, that's a no-brainer, and it looks like it's just been sitting out there for years. Number two, as far as taking your minutes and making taking your notes and making them into minutes, I think that would be a very good idea. The only thing I'd like to send to them would be the attendees. So if we could leave this meeting, doll it up, put the attendees on it, I think this would be a very good meeting notes to put into the record.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Add attendees. To the notes. Okay, Elizabeth was on the stack, so is this a secretarial intervention or a member intervention?
No, when it's secretarial, I will let you know.
Okay, so Elizabeth, then Adriana. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Yeah, as a point of information, at the KPFA LSB, we had to, the members of Rescue Pacifica communicated with potential community members so that people would apply to be nominated to the CAB. And fortunately, now the PNB has passed a resolution to incorporate all of the members of the CAB who were actually nominated, because unfortunately only four were chosen because the wrong voting system was made. So in other words, we've been pushing for that heavily, and we were facing a lot of resistance regarding that, and some parliamentary abuse as well, if I may say so. So I think it's really important that, yes, it wasn't only the auditing, it was also the CAB things, and that's and getting all that together. It should have probably happened beforehand. I'm also pretty sure that Pacifica was very busy trying to defend itself against lawsuit after lawsuit from the Pacifica Safety Net, who's still trying to put Pacifica into receivership. And I have a question and which I would like to have addressed, because I have, maybe right now would not be the time, but I would like, for the record, I would like to put on record the PNB resolution regarding a suspension of Donald Goldmacher, who is a member of the audit committee, because I have sincere concerns about somebody who is a corporate officer, or director, actually, who stands in a fiduciary relationship to the corporation, and who must be, the demands placed on directors means that they have to have a very scrupulous observance of his duty, a fiduciary duty, to protect the interests of the corporation. However, with this FCC complaint, which has been put forward, is basically it's a violation of fiduciary duty. So I would call into question his participation in the audit committee as a result of that. And he has been suspended by the PMB, by the Pacifica National Board. However, the suspension, I believe, takes place in 30 days because it has to have 30-day notice. And it would be for no less than 3 months because of his because of his actions and his violation of fiduciary duty. And I want to put that on record.
Okay. I think some of us are aware of of what's been going on there. And I'm not sure how that would work with regard to this committee, but
can I ask one more question? I'm making an assumption that if he has been suspended from the Pacifica National Board, he's also then would be suspended from any of the standing committees or committees of the Pacifica National Board, because I would find it very worrisome to have somebody who has violated the fiduciary duty to be part of such an important committee such as the audit committee. And I will be presenting a motion next time if he does come to this meeting to not have him participate in this. And I hope that we are very mindful of our own fiduciary duty in making sure that we do not have somebody who violates fiduciary duty on our committee.
Understood. Thank you. We'll see what happens with the suspension from the PNB and take it from there. But it's... we've noted this, your question. Adriana, you were up.
Yes. First of all, I agree absolutely. We should ask the PMB to whatever resolutions they make about members, give every committee where those members are part of those sanctions or whatever actions they take, because I agree. If somebody is violating their fiduciary duties as a director of the foundation, shouldn't be in any committee. Obviously, it's not up to us, but I agree that we need to have that information before allowing members to be part of this committee. And the second thing is, I understand that we have a lot of questions, but I think that sometimes we are trying to reinvent the wheel. Since 2015, and I was my motion and was the PMB that approved that motion with a specific obligations and sanctions to general managers and business managers that didn't comply with specific information at the specific times given to their LSV and to the PMB. I hope that I will try to dig up that motion, because I know it's still existing, but I think that it's absolutely true. We need to be sure that the employees that are being paid to do their jobs, they do it, and the information is being sent to the LSV, to every board, the LSV and the PMB, because it's the only, if we don't have actual, real information, we cannot make decisions that make sense. I hope that we don't need to reinvent the wheel and we use what is already obligation for employees to give that information. If some of you want it, I will dig up that motion and send it to everybody, because the PMB doesn't need to start with new motion. They need to put forward or you know, enact whatever obligations,
yes,
or whatever actions were already on the books.
That would be great, I think. Does anyone else? Oh, I'm sorry, who's speaking?
This is Elizabeth. I just wanted to...
Elizabeth, okay. Just 1 minute.
I wanted to have one last thing. Yeah, 1 minute. I would like to present a motion to affirm the resolution that's already been passed by the PMB regarding the suspension of Donald Goldmacher, and affirm it in terms of his participation in this committee. And I would like to present a motion for that. To affirm
right now?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
I can read the resolution if you need to, or I can send it to you if you need it.
I'm not sure that he hasn't actually been suspended yet.
Well,
he's got his 30 days, you know, per the bylaws to be brought to another meeting and, you know, make his own defense or arguments against the suspension, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not sure if we can move to ratify or affirm something that hasn't actually happened yet, if you see what I mean.
Could
Does
Fred
anyone
be
else
could Fred be
weigh
recognized
in
too?
On these formalities? Who is that?
Fred.
Fred, go ahead.
Yeah, I would also mention that he's not attending this meeting, so it's you know, I don't know how that legally affects us, not being present and able to defend himself.
Okay, you're right. Okay, I will withdraw my motion, but I will present. I would like to present that motion for next meeting then, because it's going to be 1 week from now. We'll present for next meeting.
So okay, Elizabeth, if you can possibly send that beforehand, before the meeting, that would be great, just so we can, you know, have it in the text, on paper, to read
and
before
the
meeting.
What is the deadline to send it? Like the Wednesday?
Just say the Friday before the next meeting, assuming the meeting's on a Monday.
I would also like to state that at the LSB, the LSB never gets the financial report, they get it on Friday before the Saturday. And so, and unfortunately,
I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to stop you there. That is a topic more for the finance committee than for the audit committee.
Okay.
I can't help you. We can't help you from this committee. We can't help you with your, with a station's financial reports, just not in our purview.
Eileen, I just want to give you a notice on time. We've been through 25 minutes of our 10-minute agenda, but has been extended to 25 minutes. We have the extra time, but I just want you to know we're out of time for this item.
Thank you. Yes, I was going to say, if we don't have anything that's really important to bring up right now, I would like to move on. I think George Walter has been waiting on the line to give us his update on the 2021 audit. And there will be time to bring up other things under new business. Who is that that's speaking?
Bella DeSoto, I had to log in again, call in again. But you forgot that I asked you earlier, that you should have the attendees listed on the notes so that and presented in a.
I heard you say that, and I plan on adding that.
Okay. Because Sarah.
That's been
Sarah
taken care of. You don't. Yes,
yes,
that's been taken care of. Noted. Thank you.
Sarah asked for the same thing.
Yes, she did.
And you
should
have said.
And we're going to do it. It's done. That's done. Thank you, Bella.
But but you could have said it has already been requested. Thank you.
Well, that's what I'm saying now. Okay. All right, that is Bella. And let me see, is somebody else here? Oh, that would be Adriana. Adriana. Okay, so can we move on and let George talk to us for a little while and we can ask him questions?
Most definitely.
Okay. George Walter. Hello.
Okay, thank you. Hello.
Maybe you can for yes, you're a little garbled though. For the people who don't know you, maybe you could just tell them what your role is at NETA in putting together the numbers for our audit.
Yes. Thank you. Can you hear me better now if I speak up a little?
Yeah, you sound a little better. You sound great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good evening, and thank you, Eileen, and welcome to the new members of the committee. I'm George Walter, a senior accountant with the NETA Business Center, and am in charge of the audit preparation for Pacifica. I'm working in conjunction with Julia Kennard, the ICFO. I have prepared audits for Pacifica since 2017 with increasingly shorter prep times each year. I am a CPA in New York, South Carolina, and Texas, and have been in the industry for over 30 years as a CFO and other roles, and as both TV and radio. The Business Center provides direct financial management for the national office, WPFW, and WBAI for the last 2 years, and added KPFK in October of last year. We provide consolidated financials for the whole organization based on reported results from our units plus KPFA, PRA, that's Pacifica Radio Archives, and KPFT in Houston. We work with the external independent accountants, Rogers and Company, and assist them in collecting information in support of their opinion. So I'm working as an internal, not independent accountant, and Rogers and Company are the independent accountants that provide the opinion for the financials. The audit this year is in the best shape at this point during my time involved. We have been held up due to one station being behind recording deposits due to problems with the membership database and lack of local expertise. Deposits were way behind, but I believe as of last week or the week before, that was to have been completed. So as a result, I don't have the final trial balance upon which to build the audit. We have worked around that station and prepared draft financials for other purposes. And so a lot of the tough work in getting an audit trial balance set up, it has been done. And we've got draft financials, but they're not audit were they even build the audit upon. We should be able to provide a final TV to the auditors within a week or two once I get the final TV internally. I only need to make sure any accounts are added or formatted correctly, link up the lead sheets in support of the financials. With that, the auditors will start making their selections for testing and fluctuation analysis and other substantive tests. Hopefully, all units will be able to respond in a timely manner, and we can produce a completed product by the end of June. There are other matters that have been consuming, and James referred to a few of them. That's consuming time and funds with multiple lawsuits and cash flow has been a concern. That aside, I'm looking forward to getting this project completed and getting an audit reported timely. And once again, shave some time off the prior year. Are there any general questions I could address?
Yes, Jim Dingman to the stack.
Bella DeSoto to the stack.
Okay, Jim, then Bella. Jim, go ahead.
All right, thank you, George. I've been hearing all these stories about these AFRs for quite a long time. And I'm just curious if you could share with us how we are at right now with station managers cooperating and facilitating the speed of information to you that is necessary to complete these complicated documents on time. And is there anything that you can suggest that might be done to make it even more efficient? Thank you.
Well, with the units we control, reporting is timely and there's decent cooperation. The stations, the units that we do not manage, one of them has been quite behind in that bank reconciliations were well behind. And so I'm not sure how that gets corrected other than requiring reports on the local level, and I would suggest even including balance sheets. So that's it. If I can just make a gentle correction, just for industry purposes, the AFR in public broadcasting usually stands for the annual financial report, and that's what goes to CPB. The audited financial statement is the AFS, and so they're not really interchangeable. And just so if that was to pop up in notes or something, it could be confusing to people.
Just a quick follow up: which unit is not is behind at this point?
They've responded, so it's not that they're not responding currently, but it took until May for something that probably should have been done by October.
What station?
KPFA.
Thank you.
Fred for the stack.
Okay, Bella was next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, George. Great hearing you again. You know, I started a revolution on this audit committee, if nobody wants to acknowledge that. But I should be given some credit for demanding balance sheets, accounts payable, agent report, trial balance, and all the good stuff that you request in a normal world of accounting expediency. And so now we are talking about getting all these documents, but I have to tell you, when I began complaining about all of this and requesting these reports, it was to get them locally so that you guys, so that the folks that are hired to conduct our audit have the information immediately, because if the local finance committees are provided, the necessary monthly timely report that you have to get, right, then you would not have to fight and lose so much time, and our audits would go in very smoothly. So the logic behind this is that at our local finance committees, we must get timely reports, not just a P&L, consolidated P&L. No, I want to see a bank reconciliation, a balance sheet, accounts payable, agent report, and a trial balance. Thank you.
Elizabeth on stack.
Sorry, who was on stack? I think Fred was next.
Elizabeth after
Fred. Hang on one second. Where did I have that? Okay, Bella. Bella, then Fred, and then Elizabeth.
I have already spoken. Bella spoke just now.
Yes, you did. No, you were done. I was just reading my list of people. Fred, you were up, I believe.
Yes, George, I have one question. Can you tell us when you anticipate completing the audit and being able to submit it to the committee?
Well, my hope would be late June and final issuance by the end of June.
Can you repeat that, please? You came out garbled.
And
okay. I would hope for mid to late June and issue the final by the end of June.
Can I respond? June 30th is the last legal date to submit the audit.
That's correct? Yeah. Okay.
Well,
that's to the California Attorney General. Correct, Fred?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Right. Yes, so I was going to ask George if, we'll look at the calendar, but let's try to figure out what dates would allow us to review the draft and meet with Jorge Diaz about it and, follow our usual procedure. We will do that. Elizabeth, you're next?
Yeah. I wanted to reiterate what Bella said. I would like to reiterate hello?
Is somebody else speaking?
Hello?
25 calories each, right?
Hello?
Egberto, I think you're... Hang on, Elizabeth. Egberto, I think you were speaking. Maybe if you're going to... maybe you could mute yourself if you're going to...
My bad.
Speak? Okay. Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, Elizabeth, go ahead.
Yes, I would like to reiterate something that Bella said. I would also like to state that it seems to me that KPFA is the only station that does not have its own LSC that does not have a finance committee. And so, therefore, it's very difficult for us to even get any financial information because we do not have a finance committee. I would like for the audit, if there's any way for the audit committee to somehow offer a suggestion or motivate all of the LSBs and motivate KPFA to have a finance committee so that we can get all the documentation in time and in advance. It would really be helpful if this kind of guidance could be provided from the national level to KPFA, because it seems that they still have not created a finance committee.
Jim Ding into the stock.
Eileen, we're out of time for this segment, just for your information.
Okay. Thank you. Let me just get a stack. We have Jim Dingman. Does anybody else want to speak on that issue? Including our people from the PNB who might... in case they have any ideas about where a KPFA finance committee might be going. There might not be any information, but, speak up if there is. Meanwhile, Jim Dingman, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, George, for your work. George, I was wondering if you could explain, because this is a meeting that will be heard by other people who may not know the importance of the AFS's, AFRs. I was wondering if you could synopsize why this is so important to be done for the Pacifica Foundation to have timely audited financial statements.
Sure, good question. Without a timely audited financial statement, the organization would be unable and has been unable for 10, 11 years now to then complete the AFR, the annual financial report to CPB. And so that, along with other reasons, has prevented Pacifica from receiving CPB funding. The audit report is a public document that can be found at CPB, and they had a number of recommendations, people have, I think Eileen alluded to a few in terms of meeting notices and other requirements. There's also listenership and non-federal financial support, that there's thresholds that a station needs to obtain to get CPB funding. There was also recommendations, and it's been a while since I read that audit report. And by that audit report, I mean from Office of Inspector General. And so the results of that audit required that Pacifica pay back funds that were overpaid based on misstatements that were made at the station level. And I think they also had recommendations in terms of governance, and so it's very clear what they wanted and what the requirements are. And so until that is all achieved, and to be able to get an audit done within really within 5 months of the end of the fiscal year, that's needed in order to get an annual financial report filed timely so that it can be in the mix for the grants in the subsequent year.
Thank you, George.
Sure. Madam
All
Chair.
Right.
Madam
yes.
Chair, this is Jim Dingman again. I just wanted to add to what George was saying, that the lack of AFSs has prevented Pacifica from getting money from foundations, from grants, from municipalities that were in many other impacts aside from the loss of community service grants. Thank you.
Yes, that would be correct. Nobody wants to give money to an organization that can't reasonably guarantee that it's handling its funds in a correct manner. So Jim Dingman is correct on that. All right. Let's see. I've lost track of what the name of this agenda point was. It was, let's see, we were on the review of the December
Five.
Notes, and we kind of just went, oh, then we got the update from NETA.
Okay.
I would just like to say that NETA, for anybody who doesn't know, is, George, help me out, the National Educational Telecommunications something. NETA
yeah.
mainly works with broadcasting entities, so they are uniquely qualified to work with Pacifica, and they know a lot. They have a lot of experience with the CPB. I'm sorry, George, go ahead. What's the full name?
National Educational Telecommunications Association.
Association. Okay, thank you.
So we're an educational program distributor in the public television area. And I work for, within NETA, we have the business center where we have a number of clients that outsource their accounting to us. And that's been in place for over 20 years, maybe 25 years, and it's seen steady growth. And so so we've got a team of professionals, people at my level, say the senior controller level, usually have many years in public broadcasting, and that's TV and radio. And then we're supported by controllers and staff accountants and payroll accountants and HR professionals to be able to provide a team of people to service clients in public broadcasting and we have a few other organizations too, nonprofit that we cater to.
Thanks, George. And if anybody wants to look them up, their URL is Neta or NETA Online, all one word, .org. NETAOnline.org. All right, let us move on. New business. George, if you need to go to, if you need to retire, you can drop off the call if you like. You're welcome to stay on, of course.
Okay. I you won't have to ask me twice, so have
okay.
A good evening and a good rest of the meeting.
Thanks so much. Okay. Take care. All right. Our next point was just new business. So do we want to switch to using Zoom instead of Maestro for its meetings?
Bella, to the stack.
Okay, Bella. Anybody
yes.
else?
Yeah, Sarah
yes.
to the stack.
Sarah.
Marilyn Stack.
Marilyn.
Catherine Stack.
Catherine. Okay, let's hold it
and
at four. Oh, what?
I was going to say Fred.
Oh, Fred. All right, we'll hold it at five, and then we'll see where we're at, okay? Bella, go ahead.
Yes, I want to urge everyone to that we switch over to Zoom as soon as possible. Number one, because Zoom will provide us with the visual platform space that we need. Not only because it will enable us to screen share all the documents that we need to be coordinating with. Zoom has also just recently developed what is called Whiteboard. The Whiteboard is where people can collaborate and they can share, collaborate with each other, meaning in a committee, in a group, small, large, whatever. There are many features. Also, there is the chat. But beyond that, it will also assist in management of the committee, meaning that people come in a certain sequence so that the secretary and the chair can be mindful who is coming on first, second, third, etc. Who is on the call? Who should not be on the call? So as far as the managerial abilities are very important, just as much as the visual platform to enable all of us to be on the same page. So I hope that we move there very soon.
Thank you.
Okay. Jim to the stack. Yeah. Jim Dingman.
Yeah, gotcha. Sarah?
Okay, I agree that I like Zoom also, but I like it for several other reasons that a lot of people don't take into consideration. About 70% of communications you learn in school is nonverbals. And Zoom does a lot toward contributing to that, all the gestures, all the expressions, all that sort of thing. So it helps to really make the communications process a lot richer. The other thing I like about Zoom is you'll have a little notification of who's actually talking because it comes up on the in little words beside the little thumbprints or thumbnail sketches or whatever you call it. So you have a general idea who's talking, and you have a general idea who's talking anyway because you can actually see them. And it's also another nice thing about it, as people start to wind up and go off into the off topic, a lot of times you can tell it before they get there, and the moderator can just intercede very gently and say, you know, let's kind of keep on topic here and steer the conversation so it's richer and stays on focus. But I really like Zoom a lot, so you can tell. So I'm a little prejudiced because I use it, and I like it a lot. Take care.
Thank you, Sarah. Those are interesting. Marilyn?
Yeah, I just want to say that, what the last speaker said is true, but lots of people don't have the camera on anyway, and they just have a picture there, and you don't get to see them. And it might as well, from that point of view, they might as well be on the phone. So, I think we do all right this way, but the points that Bella raised, I see that could be useful to have the material up on the screen that we're talking about. Although we have it, all you have to do is open your computer and you can see it there. So, I think we're fine with conference system, but, that's what I wanted to say.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you. Catherine? Catherine? Is Catherine still on the line? Catherine? All right, we'll come back to you, Catherine.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Oh, so
this
now
is why
I
prefer to be on Zoom, because I can't actually see who's talking. I don't know who it is who's talking. It's all very well for everybody who's been here a long time and know the voices, but I don't know them. So the one advantage Zoom has is that you can see who or which phone number is speaking. So you've got something to identify. And then this, not everybody likes their phone. I hate mine. And as you've seen tonight, I'm not good with the mute, unmute. That's my sense.
Okay. Thank you. Fred?
Yeah. Yes. I have an advantage that I've used three different systems. Would somebody please mute their microphone? I've used three different systems over the years. I remember when we used to use Loopop. I think it was from AT&T or whatever. And that's, of course, non-video. Since I do the streaming, I stream using Skype, doing a audio-only phone call into the system. So I extract the audio from Skype and stream it to our internet radio server. In any case, I'm not all that hot on Zoom. One of the main problems is that there are people that are calling in on audio only and having calling in on with low bandwidth connections and having what the effect called audio throttling, where the audio breaks up very, very badly into it sounds like a bunch of bells or whistles, and it's just undecipherable. And that's because evidently the Skype video interface interferes with the audio and tends to hog all the bandwidth. So I see advantages in all the systems. Yes, you can Zoom can share documents. I haven't learned the technology of how to put those documents up on the server, but I think that's overrated, frankly. I prefer to have the documents sent as attachments and be able, I have three computers operating right now, and I have a desktop computer where I can look at spreadsheets and Word documents, and it seems to me that that's preferable to whatever Zoom provides. But so I'm putting pros and cons here on Zoom versus Maestro. Maestro doesn't have the audio throttling problem. People do have problems with audio. George had a particularly rough sounding audio. I don't know what was going on there. There's no controlling what kind of headset people use to call in conferences. People use all kinds of systems. So I'm just giving you some some pros and cons, and it's up to this group to make the decision. If the group wants to go with Zoom, we can give it a try and see how it works. That's the end.
Elizabeth here. Elizabeth here? Can I say something?
I think...
We're out of time, by the way.
I move to extend 5 minutes. Bella DeSoto, I move to extend.
I second that.
Bella, hold on. Where's the chair?
I'm sorry.
I think
we lost a chair.
No, she's still up on the Maestro control panel. I don't know where she's at. Eileen?
Fred, thank you. Who asked for an extension?
Bella DeSoto motion to extend 5 minutes. And it was seconded by...
Hold on, we need a chair to run the meeting.
We have the secretary, Fred, and you should stop. Fred, stop.
Thank you very much.
Bella.
Thank you very much. Mr. Blair, thank you. I'm trying to wait for the chair to come, but in the meantime, I'm the secretary, and I think that I can run this. We have a motion from Bella DeSoto. Is any objection to that motion?
To extend 5 minutes. I'm not objecting.
I second the motion.
I'm asking no objections, and we have extended for 5 minutes. Okay, go ahead. Elizabeth, you asked for the floor?
Yes. I was going to say
Jim,
I use Zoom quite extensively as an interpreter, and I'm very familiar with it. And one of the good things is that the host can transfer the hosting or co-hosting capabilities so that it's very easy for people to put things on the screen for everybody to see. So even if you're the host, you can pass on the co-hosting to somebody else and they can share the screen. That means whatever's on your desktop, you choose what's on your desktop to share. And that means the documents, especially...
I'm sorry. This is the chair. I'm going to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I had muted my phone because I was making noise here and failed to remember that. Jim Dingman was next on the stack.
Madam Chair, someone else was.
Yes, Adriana.
We approve a 10-minute extension without objections, and Member Elizabeth Milos was just.
Yes, but she shouldn't have been speaking because
she
can go
speaking.
After
she
Jim.
She has the floor. Elizabeth
Let her
has
finish.
The floor.
Let her finish. Let her finish.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Everyone else, please stop talking. We will get back to Elizabeth, but Jim Dingman was next on the stack. So go ahead, Jim. Please be concise, and then we'll get to Elizabeth.
Madam Chair, I have no problem with Elizabeth finishing her comment.
All right, then. Let's do that.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I didn't want to interrupt you.
The other thing good about Zoom is that you can actually put on the chat the names of the people who are on staff, so it's easier for the chair to keep, to make sure that everybody knows who comes next on the chat. It's a very good function as well. That's another issue, improvement.
Although, are you aware that when people raise their hand, it turns up on the participants list in order of people who have raised their hand? So that makes it even easier.
I'm connected via phone. I'm not connected via my...
Oh, okay. There's a code you can use for that, but we'll get to that another time. Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, everybody's more or less said everything about Zoom. Fred has expressed the pros and cons. I've been using Zoom pretty extensively since the pandemic began, and I find it to be far superior and efficient than using Maestro, because you can show documents and you can actually, and I hear what Fred says, you can have them on the computer, and I think that's good too. But at the same time, you can visually show them to everybody
and you can talk about them at once. And you also can control the sound problems that we're having when everybody crosstalks. So I think Zoom is a far better thing. Anyway, thanks.
Okay, Adriana? Let me say that. Okay, go ahead, Adriana.
No, it's okay, Chair. I think that everybody expressed their opinion. Do you think that we can have a motion to, if anybody object or not, to next meeting do it in Zoom? Is anybody objecting?
Go for a vote. Go for a vote, you mean?
Yes.
I call the
question. Let me say one thing. We need to identify what Zoom account we can use. So,
Point of information.
Is that Fred?
Yes.
Chair, what Sarah Brown.
Hey, Fred, Sarah. Go ahead, Fred.
Pacifica has a Zoom account that we can use. I know that I've talked to Otis McClay.
Okay, because I wrote to him and he just wrote back and said, I don't know, I'll have to check or something like that. He was vague. If you could look into that for us, Fred, that would be great.
No.
Point of information, Madam Chair.
Hang on a second. Excuse me, Jim. I'm asking Fred.
Okay, sure. No problem.
Fred? Can you look into that?
Yes, I'm still here. And I know because I've talked about with Otis about this a lot of times. The only point, so I know we Pacifica has a unlimited Zoom account that they use for the PNB, and we can set up a meeting if so desired.
Okay, thank you. We'll I'll be in touch with you about how to do this. So yes, we will try to. My feeling is we should try to have a Zoom meeting next time. But we'll vote on that in a minute. Sarah Brown, you are on the set.
I was going to recommend that we try using the Zoom at least once and see how it works out. And if it's
sure.
not to our taste, we'll go on and use something else. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Plenty of information,
Jim Dingman?
Yeah.
Jim?
I would suggest that if whoever is the host using Zoom, whoever is designated as the host and co-host, that they be fully briefed about dealing with Zoom bombs, because I would suggest you use the waiting room function of Zoom, and then whoever is hosting the meeting, learn how to prepare against a Zoom bomb, because we've had meetings in New York that have been disrupted in crazy ways by Zoom bombs, and I wouldn't put it past anybody to pull that kind of crap.
Okay, thank you for that suggestion. We should do that.
Yes,
I'm going to have to leave, and so somebody else might have to take over if we don't get to a vote on this soon.
I
call for the vote. I call for the vote. Bella,
is that Bella? Okay. All right. Adriana, do you want to run a roll call vote?
Madam Chair, first.
Are there any objections to trying out Zoom at our next meeting with the caveat that we need to find a Zoom account?